Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are the great and awesome God. The great I am. That's what that word means, I am. Because there's no other way to explain. There's nothing more that can be said about who you are. You are the definition of all existence. The reason for everything that is. And yet, this great and mighty, awesome God that's beyond our comprehension loves us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you did. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming to us and for indwelling us and for enabling us to be a part of your family, to serve you, to fellowship with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything that you've done for us.
Amen.
Open our hearts today as we learn from your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Praise God. We've been talking about transformation, about some of the practicalities of how we can obey that command or that directive to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I've observed transformations over the course of my life, different people that I've met in church in various settings. And one of the things that I've noticed about those folks is that those who are the most aware of how much mercy they have been given are those who are the most fervent in their service toward God. Because they realize how much they've been forgiven. And Jesus illustrated that very point over in Luke chapter 7 as he's speaking to the Pharisee that came over for dinner. And you remember the story about the woman coming in and washing his feet with her tears and drying them with her hair, and how indignant they were that this sinner had come in and he was allowing her to touch him. And so he told the story. Jesus told the story about the two debtors, and one owed so much and the other one owed 10 times as much. And he said he forgave them both. Which one's going to love him more? And of course, the answer is the one whom he forgave more. And so Jesus says in closing of that story related to this woman, "For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. For he who is forgiven little loves little." That's out of Luke 7:47. That's not part of our thing. It just threw that in for a bonus. And that story continues also in the two perhaps most well-known authors of the New Testament, those being Paul and John, and both of whom had the most to say about love. I ended up talking about a lot of things today, not love exclusively, although it kind of does wrap it all up. But the interesting thing about both of these guys, you look at their stories. John, the brother of James, the disciple, was full of ambition when he first joined up with Jesus. You remember, he was the one that came with his brother and got their mommy to come and try to arrange for them to have the positions of authority on Jesus' right and left. He's the guy who, when they went through the village of the Samaritans and they wouldn't receive him because he was going to Jerusalem, said, "Yeah, you want us to call down fire and burn them all up?" And yet this is the guy who wrote some of the most powerful words on love that we have in the New Testament. Paul, we all know Paul's story. Paul was a persecutor of the church. He went around basically having people arrested, consenting to their martyrdom because he thought that he was serving God. And this man was the other author who wrote the most beautiful things and the most instructive things about love in 1 Corinthians 13, as one example. And the one we always read at the weddings, the one we read at our wedding. So take encouragement. I say all that to say take encouragement from that and know that God redeems and transforms lives. God redeems the broken.
Amen.
So to kind of back up and review a little bit, we started this study in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Or really, we went a few verses back just to kind of get an idea of where we were coming from, because there's a therefore there. But he says to, you know, to be a living, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, because that is your reasonable service to this Almighty God that we've just been praising. And to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, you've got to completely change the way that you think.
Yes.
He talks about humility and the application of spiritual gifts. Practice humility. Avoid being prideful. Know that everyone has value, that all of us are necessary parts of God's church, that have unique gifts that are given to us for the service of the church. Use them for His glory. And now Paul is going to continue. He's been dealing with gifts that are perhaps a bit more prominent, but now he's going to give practical advice for everybody in the church. Whatever your gift is, whatever your place is, these are things everybody can do. So he's going to continue now to teach on how to be transformed. We're going to pick up reading in chapter 12, verse 9. He says, "Let your love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality." I'm just going to tackle this verse by verse. I don't know any other way to do it. There's so much that's being said here. So we'll start by looking at verse 9. "Let your love be without hypocrisy." Now, when I looked this up, I thought that I would find maybe the same word that Jesus used when he was talking about being a hypocrite, but that wasn't what I found. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to step back and talk about love. Now, the word that is used here for love is the word we all know, all heard taught in church, and it's that word agape. It's that love that is given freely without expectation of return. And it's the love that Christ gave His life for. Romans 5:8 tells us that. Loved us so much, even while we were still sinners, He gave His life for us. And it's the love that we're supposed to have for each other. One of my favorite verses in 13, John chapter 13, 34 and 35 tells us that. Tells us that that's how we're supposed to be known. People are going to know we belong to Him by the way we love each other, He said.
Amen.
That's the kind of love that we're talking about. He even uses that same word when he says to love our enemies in Matthew 5:44. Now there's a tough one for you.
Yes, it is.
And then, of course, it's the same love that Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians 13, where he explains to us what that love actually looks like. And if we had another 2 hours, I'd go over that too.
Yeah.
But he said in the beginning of that chapter, and we'll talk about that, he said, if I do all the things, all these wonderful things, if I even sacrifice myself, but I don't have any love, it's worthless.
Right.
That's how important it is. So he says, let it be without hypocrisy. And when you look that word up, without hypocrisy actually comes from one word, and it simply means unfeigned. Or undisguised, sincere. In other words, be for real. Now, does that mean that you're always going to feel it? Well, maybe if we were able to love in entirety and purity the way that Jesus does, maybe we would always feel it. I don't know. But I tell you one thing, it does mean we always practice it with an intent to love.
Yeah.
It means that we purpose in our hearts to do it, to practice it even when the feeling's not there. And not to be faking, to be serious about it. And by all means, don't hide it. Express it for one another. Then he goes on, and I don't think it's any mistake that these things are right together, because it flows together. He says, abhor what is evil. In other words, we tend to play with evil. We tend to kind of look at it. Sometimes we even laugh at it. He says, no, abhor it, hate it, find it repulsive. Why? Because it's incompatible with love.
Right.
Evil hurts people. That's incompatible with love. So he says, abhor what is evil. Hate it. Stay away from it. Despise it. And we tend instead to treat it as entertainment. But what we're doing is we're training, when we do that, we're training our minds to accept it as normal. It's not normal. It's not the way, well, it's unfortunately more normal than it should be, but it's not what God intended to be normal. And then when we find it, when we see it all around us, because we filled our minds with it, we find ourselves unaffected by it. You know, we've seen all this stuff on the news lately. We've seen people threatening each other, doing violence to each other, sending bombs and stuff like that. And then we had this mass shooting that I didn't know about when I wrote notes about the shooting that hadn't happened yet. And then this come up on the news. And people are so used to it now that, oh, they say, oh, that's terrible, and then move on. We cease to even be appalled by what we're seeing. Mm-hmm. The exploitation of people that we're seeing going on, and it's just the way the world is. Well, yeah, it is, but it's because we're not doing our job.
Right.
He says, cling to what is good. Remember the concept that we learned a couple of weeks ago, that when you take something away, you need to put something in its place. So, yeah, abhor what is evil. Then the next thing he says is cling to what is good. Remember Philippians 4:8. It talks about all those things that we should be thinking about. Things that are right, lovely, honorable, and true. Then moving on to the next verse, he says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. The Common English Bible puts it this way: love each other like the members of your family. Now, that might scare us. Because sometimes our family, we're not acting very loving toward each other. Sometimes family doesn't act very loving. But most of us, unfortunately, sometimes rifts have become so deep and pain has become so deep that this doesn't happen. But for most of us, however upset we are with our family members, whatever has gone in the past, if they got into serious trouble, if they were in serious need, we'd bend over backwards to make sure they were taken care of. Wouldn't we most of the time?
Uh-huh.
Why? Because they're family.
Right.
Well, so is the church. This is our family.
Amen.
And we need to think of each other like that. That's what he means. Love each other like that. Like you love your family. That maybe on day-to-day basis you can barely stand them. But if they really needed something, you'd be there. Because you love them. They're family. And then I thank Paul, because he knows that that's true of families. The very next thing he says is, give preference to one another in honor. Now, give preference, actually, you look at what that word means, and some of your translations may put it different ways, but it means to go before and show the way. To go before and lead. To go before as a leader. Some of the translations said, one translation, CEB said, be the best at showing honor to one another. Another one said, ESV said, outdo one another in showing honor to each other. In other words, show them how it's done. Be so good at it. Be so good at honoring each other that people look to you as an example. That you are leading the way in how to honor and treat each other with respect. That's how we want us to live. And then I believe, still building on that same theme, he says, not lagging behind in diligence. In other words, we're diligently pursuing these things. We are working at it. We're working at bestowing honor. We're working at showing love. We're working at obedience. We know what is right. We know what we need to do. And we choose to diligently look after it and work on it. And that same diligence then applies to all of our life. It applies to our relationships. It applies to the jobs we do. It applies to other responsibilities in our lives. If we're young, it might apply to homework. Because anything of value requires diligence.
Yes.
And so he says, be fervent in spirit. And that word, when you look it up, is defined as to boil or be hot. Be excited. Be a fanatic. You're supposed to be a fanatic for Jesus. Because you do serve the Almighty Yahweh that we were praising just a few minutes ago. That's who you serve. That's who you belong to. And it's not a thing of fear, like Priscilla was teaching about earlier today. It's not a thing of anything. It's a thing of fear if you're doing wrong.
Yeah.
But it is a joy. It is an honor. Do you realize what it means that the Almighty God of the universe wants you to be part of what He's doing?
Right.
He doesn't need us.
No.
He does not require that He use us, but He uses us because we're made like Him, because in order to be in sync with Him, in order to be fulfilled, in order to be who He made us to be, we have to be involved in His work.
Amen. That's right.
He loves us that much. It's because of that He wants us to be a part of what He's doing.
Right. Amen.
He loves you. And because He loves you, He set you on a mission to share that love.
Amen.
Some translations read, in the Spirit. Well, that's okay, because I guarantee you, if you're that excited about God, you're going to be in the Spirit.
That's right. Amen.
So get that excited about it. And just in case we have any doubt, He says then, serving the Lord. Paul has laid out some of the ways of what that service looks like in the things he's been saying to us here. Talks about being, talk about being a living sacrifice. In other words, we're totally and completely devoted to the Lord. Our minds renewed by what we choose to think and do. Loving, serving, honoring each other. Radically committed to His purpose. And I'll tell you, you can serve no better master. And so we can then, as he says in the next verse, rejoice. Rejoice in the hope that we have. Hope is a vital part of our existence. Proverbs says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope provides us the strength in order to carry on. You know, in our struggle. And I know that many of you live some of these same struggles. But through the years, as different things have come up that Linda has wanted to try to deal with the challenge of MS. Sometimes I was 100% with her. I was like, yeah, let's do this.
Right.
Other times I'm like, I just don't think this is a particularly great idea. And I might, you know, in all honesty, because I love her, I might share that once. But if that's what, if she's going to go forward with it, that's going to be the last thing I say about it. Why? Because that hope is vital. Right. We need to be able to preserve that hope. And you know what? That the hope that I'm talking about now is temporary. Eventually, something's going to happen. It's going to go away.
Right.
But the hope that we have in Jesus never goes away.
Amen.
The hope that we have in Jesus is eternal. And nothing can take it down.
Amen.
This is great cause for rejoicing.
Amen.
And it's how we can do the next thing that he says. Persevering in tribulation. Yeah, we're going to have trouble. No question about it. Right. Nobody, that's no secret to anybody here. We're going to have trouble. But we endure it because of our hope in Jesus.
Amen.
And then he says, be devoted to prayer. Prayer is your lifeline.
That's it right there.
Prayer helps you align your heart to His heart. I believe that's one of the primary reasons that we're given to pray. And it's not because we need to tell God anything He doesn't know, but it's because we need to be reminded. It's because we need to be reminded who our source is. And because in the act of taking that time to spend talking to Him, we begin to then be guided into the things that are truly important to Him. And some of that prayer time that we spend needs to be spent listening. Needs to be spent listening to see what it is that He would say to us. We spend a lot of time talking at Him. We need to stop sometimes and listen and hear what He's saying.
Right.
Let Him guide us. Because without prayer, without being able to hear and enter and act according to the leading of the Holy Spirit, our mission truly is impossible. But with Him, with God, what? All things are possible.
That's right.
So be devoted to prayer. Make time for it. Approach it like you would any other relationship that you want to keep. I know it's an example we use over and over again, but how long would your relationship with your significant other last if you never talk to them?
It begins.
Well, you gotta, you know, what you say does matter too, that's for sure. But hopefully we all desire, you know, remember how you felt. Sometimes things get out of whack as time goes on. But remember how you felt when you first met them.
Oh, yeah.
Remember how much you couldn't stand to be apart from them, right? I mean, I thought about Linda all the time. Couldn't wait till the next time I got to see her.
Mm-hmm.
Write her an email. Call her on the phone.
Couldn't get enough.
We wanted to be. That's the way we need to be with God. Because I'm telling you something, He loves you that much.
Yes, He does.
He loves you that much. And then we go on to the next verse, and He says, contributing to the needs of the saints. In other words, you know, again, down to the practicality, take care of each other.
Amen.
It may be a financial need. It may be a material need. That's why we back here at the church, right? Because sometimes we just need a little help.
Right.
It might be emotional or relational needs. People, we need each other. We need to spend time with each other. We need to make an effort to contribute to those relationships and support each other. And it says practicing hospitality.
Amen.
Now, some translations will render this word pursuing hospitality. In other words, making an effort. In other words, you chase it down. You're making an effort to do it. Now, that may involve people coming into your home, I know we have some people that are very good at that here. I don't know anybody in here, I don't think, that hasn't at some time welcomed somebody into their home. That's something that happens regularly, and something I really appreciate about this church. But it also means that we welcome them into our church.
Right. That's good.
We exist to bring people to Jesus. Now, understand something as a church. We will not compromise the message. We won't change the message to fit whatever the culture or norms are that are going on at the time just so we can get more people in the door. That doesn't do anything. That, in fact, makes us part of the problem. But we should be willing to make changes that would allow us to be more welcoming. That would be something that would be a good thing to do. So as we... Okay? So as we begin to wrap things up here, I love the book of Romans. I have felt the need just to stay on course and keep going because Paul's not done talking here. But it really does tell you in very practical terms the how to live the Christian life. If I could only give... Maybe in one of these countries where you can't send a whole Bible and you got to smuggle in pieces. If I had to smuggle in, give somebody just pieces of the Bible, I think I would give them the book of John so that they could know who Jesus is, and the book of Romans to know what that means and how to live it. And another thing that this does, is that we've been studying, is it tells us what our church should look like. Devoted to pleasing God. Focused on the things that matter the most to Him. Sometimes we get sidetracked. We get excited about the wrong things, and everything has its place. But always to keep the most important thing, the most important thing. What does God want, and how are we going to bring more people to know Him? Each member functioning as a vital part of the whole body, loving and caring for each other, always in prayer, and always seeking the lost. That's who we ought to be. And I believe that's who we're working to be. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you for all that you have given us. Thank you that you gave us your word to show us. You didn't leave us hanging. You didn't do everything you did and then leave us to wonder about what that means for us. You gave us all the instruction that we need. So thank you, Lord. And I pray that you would guide us as we seek to do your will, as we seek to be the kind of people that please you. Just pray for your supernatural guidance in that process, Lord. Bring us into a place where we are attractive, not because of who we are, but because we're showing who you are.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.